But in terms of Rule 105 of the Rules of the Senate, dealing with the intervention reviewed in the province of the Commonwealth, the rules say we must do it in consultation with the relevant committees, but we go one step further. We do it jointly with the relevant committees in the NCOP, referring to the different departments where the intervention was applied. Can you hear me without the microphone? Yes. Welcome to the Honourable Premier. Welcome to beautiful countries of Africa, but also to the province of Port, taking the lead as leader and the new premier of that province. Thank you for honoring this meeting this morning for the premier. We've come a long way with the province of the Popo as the members sitting here of the different committees. Since January 2012, although the Section 100B was invoked on the 5th of December 2011, with your new team as MECs, see there's one MEC that's still in the team as much as Honorable Masimole, and Public Works, the rest are all new. Also to Mr. Tom leading the team of the administrators, as the chief administrator representing also Treasury, and Mr. Shishi, that is here, that's very familiar to us, the NCP, specific finance, to the Director General of COPO, and all other staff, the members, people you brought with from the COPO government. Are there anyone here from the the POPO legislators, MPL. I'm going to give the opportunity to the other members to introduce themselves because you are new to us, we are new to you, except for the administrators that know us. So I'm going to start from my left there on that side. My name is Charles Weir, chairperson of the Department of Finance. I come from the biggest province in South Africa, Northern Cape. I invite you in August, September of each year to come and look at our flowers. It's a flower garden of South Africa. It does something to yourself. It's a motivation when you walk in nature and you see that. And you get inspired in life to your work. So, yes.
Thank you. appropriation phase. I serve on defining and appropriation
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael Zavallis. I'm from the Western Cape, and I'm also serving on the Select Committee of Education and Health and Social
Morning, Health Lead, Finance and Appropriation. KZN.
Yeah, the sun rises in Mpumalanga and it sets in the Northern Cape and for a lot of we are well representing in South Africa as we sit here. Honourable members, when we started the engagement with the Mpofu as referred to us by the Bishop of the NCP, and we also listened to the Minister of Finance leading the Ministerial Task Team, the objective is with regard to the Mpofu of all provinces, but to all spheres of government, national, provincial, and local, good governance and sound financial management. We want a clean administration and efficient service delivery, which is critical to achieve a better life for all and to sustain. And to sustain what this intervention is about. This intervention is not going to carry on ad infinitum. It's coming to an end somewhere along the line. But it must be sustained, what has been corrected. Look at the good governance, we look at the TFMA. This is the law. How to run finances of provincial and national departments. If you transgress this law, there must be a consequence. If I drive a little red robot, I will have to pay a fine. To lose the car. That's the law. The same applies in the government administration. What we did on the Premier and to the MECs here, and the Select Committee on Finance, we engaged after this bubble burst regarding the Mpofu. How the Mpofu went bankrupt. We don't want this to appear on newspaper headings anymore. Because then something is failing. And the question we received, and what did Parliament do? Did you see this thing coming? It's part of the program of committees, national, in the National Assembly, as well as in the NCP, as well as in provincial legislatures, to deal with quarterly reports of departments on a quarterly basis. So you can pick up the trend. If the work is done thoroughly and you work with previous years quarterly reports as well to pick up to see how is it going. This is what we started to do. On a quarterly basis, engage 9 provinces, provincial treasuries, 9 MECs, appearing before us to come and report. If you don't fight with them, you want to see what's the trend. Are you running into bankruptcy or not? What's your fiscal position? Because we get the marching orders on the 8th of January each year, the State of the Nation address, the national budget. And we've got the Act. We've got the Constitution. What we want more. What we want is competent, skilled people to do the work. But that's also commitment. That's what this intervention was about. To turn around that. And I think the Mpofu was well on the road to turn it around. Led by the administrator and his team of administrators, in cooperation with the Director General and the rest of the Ministry of Finance. led by the ministerial task team under the leadership of the Minister of Finance. There was a diagnostic analysis done in Limpopo. There was an action plan. Then these members asked, fine, there's an action plan, but do you have people to implement the action plan? And there was some uncertainty about enough warm bodies to do the work. Then we were told there's a recovery plan. And when we went back in April, we were said there's an action plan. Coming back to my question, which we ask every time we engage with the province, do you have people to implement all these plans? Because at the end of the day, it must be sustainable when intervention is lifted. The whole issue of corruption, we will also today meet with the anti-corruption task team. We met with them last week, but we sent them back to improve on their documentation. And we will meet them during the course of the Honourable Chairpersons chairing Education, Health, Public Works, Roads and Transport will chair those sessions where those briefings are being done by the administration. So with that, words of introduction of the members, welcome again. There are some apologies, Honourable Charlie and Bits for the whole week. Honourable Manella and Honourable Fati in Belgium. Honourable Magadi is in Charleston attending to issues there, as well as Honourable Wongsisi is in Gauteng. So that's the only apologies I receive. We will adjourn this meeting, suspend the proceedings at 12:45, quarter to one, which the Chief Whip wants chairpersons and whips to attend the meeting in the office. And we will reconvene at 14:15 because we must take transport to Parliament and come back again. So that we please excuse us to attend the people's meeting and then we come back. The reason for that is regarding legislation bills that's on its way from the National Assembly to the NCOP. That must be processed. Honourable Premier, welcome. And we're going to give you the opportunity for 20 minutes to address us. Please introduce your team as well.
Thank you very much, Honourable President, and let me also take this opportunity and greet everybody here. And I'll take lead from my leadership today and follow the same approach, the same procedure that we have. I am Ben Mashaba. The bigger of the group, and I'm going to request my colleagues to introduce themselves and articulate the beauty of the province that is coming.
Yes, Mike, but we can't hear you.
Is there an extra mic enough?
We'll make it
the feature that once here, not whatever. No, just a
minute. Okay, I was just saying, Honorable Chairperson, I also want to greet everybody here and take you from your leadership, Honorable Chairperson, and introduce myself, request colleagues here to also do the same as the colleagues from the honorable members from the committee's team. We will start here with to introduce himself. I am Stan Masala, Premier of Limpopo.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Thanks very much, Honorable Premier. I am Rudolf Parra, the MEC for Finance, Limpopo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members of the Parliament, Premier. My name is Mone Tong. I'm the Chief Administrator.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning. My name is Rachel Mulakanti, Party Chilindi. name is Kevin Pratt, Head of Provincial Treasury.
My name is Fred Kastisha from the National Treasury, Head of Provincial Budget.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Ugoni Mahanda from the Office of the Director General of Basic Education.
My name is Peter Mufukeng from the Office of Standards in the Department of Public Service and Administration.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Kavani Pumbulbana, the acting head of Office of Standards and Compliance Education. Please to meet you.
Good morning, Mohali Chabelin, Chief of Staff, Office of Premier Limpopo.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Obrun Twan. I'm a member of the Office of Premier Limpopo Provincial Administration.
My name is Sipo Kabane, Head of Department, Limpopo, of Health.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Premier. My name is Mrs. Wendy. I'm the Administrator Health, and I'm an official of National Health.
Good morning. My name is Esther Mbunisi, the Committee of Finance.
Good morning. My name is Simon Mwang. I'm a researcher for the Committee of Finance.
And the budget office.
Yes, the budget office currently at the office.
Good morning, I'm Mbisi Wakile, researcher for the Select Committee of Finance.
Good morning, I'm John Whiting, I'm a researcher for Parliament.
Good morning, I'm Mungana Tau, content advisor of the Select Committee on Accommodation.
Good morning, my name is Matilu Mwerebu, I'm a member of the Parliament.
Morning, my name is Tembe Kilebdaki, currently liaising for the Minister of Finance and National Treasury.
Good morning, my name is Madik Malo Chaman, I'm the Head of Department of Public Works.
Good morning to the Chair, members of Parliament, to the Premier, his Executive. My name is Mbuyi Dondasha. I'm an administrator in the Limpopo Department of Public Works, seconded from the Department of National Treasury.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Premier, and the members. My name is Mzolanda Matthews, Administrator Education in Limpopo, seconded from the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning, I'm Sipiwe Ndlovu, from the Office of the Accountant General, assisting in Limpopo.
Good morning, my name is Haya Kalitu.
Can you please just repeat?
My name is Haya Kale Tundibela from the National Treasury, for part of the administration team in Limpopo. Good morning.
Hold on. Please bring back the microphone to the table.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, MECs, officials and administrators present here, Head of the Administration Team, Mr. Tom. It is a great honour and privilege for me and the team to present to you today on how far we've gone as a program, especially since the implementation and imposition of Section 100B in our province. Although I will leave the technical side to the administrator as I agreed in the province, I wish to dwell on the present and the way forward. Many will not agree with us when we say that the Section 100B came as a ray of morning breeze for the people of Limpopo at the time when things had almost collapsed
in that province. When we heard a few weeks ago about the now famous American shutdown, in my vision I saw Limpopo province sometime early last year when media was reporting that civil servants may not be paid, that hospital services have stopped functioning, and that learners do not have school books. I believe that to many of you and some of us who were in the diaspora at that time, this tore our hearts into pieces, crying for our beloved province and our beloved country. As the president that may have said. At that time, there was no other way or means to resolve the situation except to invoke the constitutional obligation, and that's Section 100B. The main objective of Section 100B was and has been nothing else but to make every effort that there is sustainable capacity in the province, to restore the province to a sound footing, and to ensure that a new normality is entrenched in that province, and to assist the province to upgrade its systems and capabilities to ensure full compliance with all legislation, including the Public Finance Management Act. Right now, most of these things have been fulfilled. We have moved from a province where suppliers charged about 75 rands for a loaf of bread and triple charged for a mere ballpoint or writing pen or writing pad to some kind of normality. Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Members. As I have indicated earlier, we come from a history of gloom and doom where nobody thought we would ever come. As I speak now, ladies and gentlemen and honorable members, in education we have managed to throw a miracle never performed before in that part of our country. All learner and teaching material for the academic year of 2014 have been procured and delivery has already started. About 2 weeks ago, we took the media to our warehouse where a total of 2 million books had already been delivered. A total of 6 million have so far been purchased and will be at all schools by mid-November this year. The South African Post Office has been appointed as a warehousing and distribution agent and will therefore take responsibility for all textbook delivery and to all schools. Due to the dire situation we find ourselves in, we have submitted from our Roads and Transport Department a need analysis of not less than 414,173 million needed for committed projects. The rollover application has been and is now for only 695 million, whereas the balance of the project have been budgeted for in the current financial year. As it may be noted that there will be some underspending, perhaps one would want to also explain this underspending as to where it came out. The underspending on both program 2 and 5 respectively was as a result of the following: lack of clarity on procurement procedure for appointment of professional service providers. something that is acronym PSPS. Late finalization of designs due to late appointment of PSPs. Some bids were re-advertised after no suitable contractors. After no suitable contractors could be recommended after the evaluation process. Perhaps let me rephrase that and read it properly. Some bids were re-advertised, but after no suitable contractors could be recommended. Some were re-advertised due to the fact that no suitable contractors could be recommended after evaluation process. Late completion of the terms of reference for RAL, RAL is Road Agency Limpopo, for RAL study due to consultation with the DPSA, Treasury, and National Department of Transport. Interventions. The department has so far put in place the following mechanisms to ensure that the rollover funds are being utilized during 2014 financial year. The credible database for professional service providers is currently in place. The appointment of PSPs for 2013-2014 was completed during February 2013. The financial design has been completed during April and mid-May 2013. Bids have been advertised during May and June 2013. Bids evaluation and adjudication are completed in July 2013, or were completed in July 2013. Contractors took sides during August and September 2013. The Road Agency Limpopo study was advertised during April 2014, and it is expected that the project will be completed by November 2013. The department has done consultation with the National Department of Transport in relation to the above mentioned funds, and it was agreed that since we have adopted the infrastructure design management systems formerly known as IDIP, it is considered that the project has been committed once professional service providers are appointed for planning and supervision. Honorable Chairperson, one would want to thank the Cabinet for the intervention strategy such as this, because the people of Limpopo needed wisdom of Solomon in the face of such dire straits. I also wish to thank the National Council of Provinces and its committees for playing such an oversight role in guiding the province without fear or favor up to where we are currently. Lastly but not least, I wish to thank the administrators for having hearts of steel, because under normal circumstances, they could have viewed the books of the province and at the first glance, thank Cabinet and left. I must confess, Honorable Chairperson, that when one was first appointed in that position as Premier of that province, when one had just received the preliminary report and preliminary briefing about what was expected out of us, as the provincial exco, the immediate response was that, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, comrades, we need prayer. We definitely need prayer. Because the situation was really, I don't have the right English words to explain what we found there. But we want to say thanks to this team of administrators, because the kind of work they did really brought a lot of relief to that province and the people of that province. So far, ladies and gentlemen, with the assistance of both the Department of Public Service Administration and the SIU, more than 300 civil servants in Limpopo faced several charges for flouting the rules, from minor to gross irregularity. About 88 senior managers have received letters of intention to charge them, and two HODs are appearing before disciplinary hearings since the process started yesterday in the province. They remain suspended so that the investigation could take place and the due course be allowed to prevail without prejudice. One HOD have already tried to take us to court, citing irregularities in her suspension. And she lost that in court with cost already. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, as indicated before, we are at a point where we believe that we are in a position where the patient is now out of ICU and can no longer stay in hospital forever, and therefore should be discharged. As we all know, ladies and gentlemen, if a person has been injured and his or her leg has been pulled on a cast and on a wheelchair, there comes a time when the cast is removed and physiotherapists work on him or her for full recovery. At this stage, there may not be any need for the patient to sit on the wheelchair forever. The wheelchair might be needed by other patients somewhere else. Perhaps in the Eastern Cape. As a province, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we have reached a stage, I believe, where we don't need the wheelchair anymore. The administrators will show in their presentation that we have now made significant recovery in terms of financial pain. This in itself is an indication that the babysitting hours are over. The patient, the baby, must and should be allowed to run on its own. And we can now compete on the same stage with other provinces. The glory of the province, the heartland of South Africa, can now be regained. All these were made possible by this August committee from the August House of Honorable Men and Women who love their country and the people of Limpopo. We therefore thank you very much for that intervention. Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Premier, for your address. I must say, it's totally a new breed. If we look back at October 2012 in Limpopo, when we were there, that afternoon, 2:15, it was not a nice atmosphere. And what has changed until where we are now? Because you see, on the members, on the premier, MECs, and the strikers, we've got a research document in front of us that tells us where were the Popo January 2012,
what happened in between and the issues that were raised then and progress reported in April. And we have to measure, that's the whole issue, the objective that we measure the intervention. Because section 102C of the Constitution 1996 tells us the NCP must review the intervention and may make recommendations to the executive. Now we made recommendations. And we believe, as NCP members sitting here, through our committees, that we gave some direction. Because it can serve as a model. And the Pope will be the province where this pilot was run, call it intervention, to come out better on the other side. As you just said, you want to get out of ICU, to kill the virus, to be healthy again, to participate at the center. So, yes, 100%. So thank you for that. We were engaged with this presentation by the Premier after we've done listen to the administrator, Mr. Tom. Mr. Tom is leading the administrator team in the province. Mr. Tom, you heard what I said, that we are here to measure. So I see there's a document in front of us. Mr. Shishi, you will come in. Do you think you must come in? You, Mr. Tom, will just organize that. And after that, we will take the questions. Just a microphone, Mr. Tom needs a microphone.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, Members of Parliament, Honourable Team of Premier, MSS present colleagues. We have sent a document, a detailed recovery document. It's called a briefing to the NCOP, to the SCOP. There is a detailed recovery plan. Yes. There's also a presentation, which I'll talk to. Right. That's a briefing note. It gives details. And then there's a presentation which I'll just attempt to take you through.
Yeah, you've got an hour to do this.
Okay.
So take us in detail through it.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now, the outline of the presentation is as it is reflected on the wall there. I do want to talk about the introduction, that is the preamble. There specifically, I do want to talk about the purpose of the intervention, and also talk about how the intervention was structured to respond to that purpose or objective. Also, in the presentation there, I will talk briefly about the diagnosis, the witnesses that we found in the poll. Thereafter, we'll talk about the recovery, the actual recovery that happened. Now, the recovery that we shall cover is about the financial side. Now, and also, we do want to talk about the accumulated unauthorized, which has been a problem that bedeviled the province for some time. We do want to talk about that, where that is as a recovery. And we'll also talk about the latest audit, general audit outcomes. At the end of the recovery, we do want to talk about what were the enablers, because the province did have challenge in the actual delivery of a quality service. Yes, expenditures was being incurred, but whether that was a quality was another matter. Now, we then want to talk about what are the enablers that are put in place so that itself we can be able to deliver. We'll talk about that. Now, that point number four, there would is about governance. In governance, we just simply just lift up what are the capabilities that have actually been put in place to deal with the disciplinary cases and criminal cases. And I do understand that the members that you did have a presentation on the DC last month, and also you will be getting a presentation on the criminal cases. Right. Now, so I will not dwell a lot on that. Now, then the most critical part, right, is the sustainability of the recovery. Right. Now, because that actually talks to the how we see the effort, right, out of the state intervention. Right. Those things are critical. And then thereafter, we'll then talk about how to move forward. Now, I do want to just remind ourselves that early in January 2012, there was an expectation in the document that is called 15 points agreement or 15 points expectations that was signed between the national government and the province. And in that document, it was spelled clearly what is the purpose of the intervention. The purpose was actually to make sure that we upgrade the systems and the capabilities of the system of administration in Limpopo, right? And to quote directly, it was said that it must move towards what it was termed a new normal. Now, the second objective that was set there was that we must make sure that there is compliance to the legislation, right, the legal framework, right. And thirdly, to ensure that we enhance the quality of the service that is delivered. What did the intervention do when it was given those? Because those three objectives were objectives which when the intervention is assessed, it is assessed around those things. And then the intervention, what it then did was actually to set up three measures. And the committee, when it looks at the state of recovery, the state of this intervention, it must look at the recovery, right? Because one of the things that we focused was to stop the bleeding in a number of areas. And actually to make sure that the province, that particularly those departments, they do things differently than they used to do. That was one thing, and then we put systems capabilities to make sure that does happen, right? Which I'll actually be outlining exactly how it happened. Now, secondly, we put in place, right, capabilities in terms of making sure that we enforce compliance, right? Where there's wrongdoing, right, now there are consequences. The third part that we actually make a point is that we are quite aware that there are a number of problems in the province there, number of challenges in the province there. But what is important, paramount, is that what are these few things that if they can be done right, we believe that system will turn the corner. Right? So those three things, you see that they are related to one another. Right? There's not one that you say this is more important than that. All of them are critical. Right? And as the intervention was moving, it was measuring itself against those three. Now, if I just touch the diagnosis is well documented, Chairperson. I would not actually want to go into more detail about it, but it suffices just to say that one of the serious problems that were there was that there are three areas that needed that we measured. We looked at the strengths in terms of people who are using this the system, right? The strength of the officials who are actually performing work. Now, one of the problems that we found at that point in time is the lethargy amongst officials in terms of the responsibilities that they have. Now, we found there was a lack of leadership, right? And of course, when you look at the processes in terms of budgetary process, putting the budget together was a serious problem. And hence, you will also find that it will have an impact in the actual managing of the cash because the budgeting was not done correctly. Now, the other processes that we found are a bit of a problem is the actual managing of assets, whether they are movable assets or immovable assets. One of the intriguing behaviors which was a bit of a problem, right, was the manner in which there were shortcomings with procurement, to make sure that there is a competitive bidding. Competitive procuring. Well, that was a huge challenge. And of course, we found that there were hidden business relationships that were there, right, between officials and some of the people who are within the system. Now, again, thirdly, there was a serious challenge around the system. And when you look at all those three measures, right, they actually measure the sustainability of any system, right? The people, the processes, and the systems. Now, I wanted to leave that here because it's well documented in the diagnosis, what were the challenges. Now, I do want just to talk to the recovery. Now, how I intend to deal with the recovery, Chairperson, I wanted just to deal with the recovery financially, and also go and talk about recovery in the treasury itself, because it is key that the treasury must be the anchor, right? And in that regard, as the sign of actually of confidence, right? I will actually ask the HOD of the treasury to talk to that part, because what we actually did, right, in this department is actually to make sure that in our presence, once we are still there, the HODs, they actually implement the plan, the recovery plan that has actually been put in place. At some point, I will actually ask them just to talk to that. But I do want to give a picture about the recovery financial. If you look at that table there, Chairperson, right, in that table, three columns. In that, the first column, you see there that we are talking about the state of the unauthorized before the intervention came. Now, that there was a 2.7 billion which was unauthorized spending. And it's something that has been, it's a legacy. It's something that has been happening over a period of time because of the lack of control. Now, as at the end of March 2012, which was just a few months after the intervention was there, right? Because we wanted to make sure that we control that bleeding, you will see that unauthorized spending, right, was actually controlled to a point where within the provincial revenue fund, we're able to identify how that 2.7 was to be financed, right? And what is it that needs to be done? And we're able at that point in time to be able to say how that unauthorized was to be spent to an extent where we're able to say only 500 million will still need to be financed moving into the future. It's one thing to be able to say how you will finance it, because that part is very critical. You must be able to say to have that know-how, how you do it. But it's another to make sure that you put the money next to it and finance it. Right. But at the end of March, we're able to make that judgment as to exactly how, to a point where we are saying that 500. And at the end of March, or of August, I'm giving you the recent position now, right? You will see that the province has paid about 640 million, right? Has allocated 640 million towards financing of that unauthorized. If you look at the cash position before the intervention, hence the intervention was there, was that there was a 1.7 overdraft, money spent without money in the bank, right? But at the end of March, there was a surplus of about 2.4 billion. And at the end of August this year, last month, you will see that there is a 4.2 billion. Now, we can talk about that to say, what is that money? Because again, it's very important that when you see that money, right, you should understand what is its purpose. What is its purpose, right? Amongst others, you'll find that money, it must be the money that must actually finance that unauthorized spending, part of it. And that money must be is money that is due to the low spending, especially in infrastructure. I'll come back to that matter, because we still do have serious challenges there. Part of that money is also the money that has not been spent on conditional grants, right? That is also the challenges that we have there. But the point is that there is that positive balance. But if you look at the provincial expenditure, when the intervention started, you will see that the province was actually projecting to overspend its budget by 594. A million, just before the intervention. But a few months thereafter, what actually happened? In actual fact, there was an underspending of about 2.2 billion. There was an underspending of 2.2 billion. Now, as at August, you'll see that the province is actually projecting to overspend by 883. That 883 million, you'll find that in the main is a projection of overspending that is coming only in two departments, which would be education and health. And we do have reasons why there should be that, right? If you look at education, you'll see that themselves, they project to overspend on the ICS, right? On the agreements that they have had with the union. So it's a salary legend. Now, and we've got a view there as to exactly, we know what it is about, and would need to work with them to say exactly what is that figure. Right? But at the moment, it's a projection which they're just making. And part of that money is money which is projected by health that they would under overspend by. We do acknowledge the point that there is something that needs to be done in health, right? Which we have done in education, and we believe, Chairperson, as where we are sitting, that we have stabilized the COE in education, right? And the next stage that needs to be done is to do that in health. And those amounts, without delving into more details, education budget and health budget, those amounts are reflected there. And as you can see that they are coming from the COE in the main.
May we request the
acronym
to be
studied? Oh, the COE, all
right. Yeah,
from ICS, now COE. Oh, okay. Okay. We'll just set up to that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I got that. I will just talk about that unauthorized spending, which I say is a legacy problem. You see in that column number three, remember I said there was an unauthorized of 2.7 billion. Now, the province has actually funded 2.2 billion, as you can see there at the bottom, and that funding is the funding that it is providing in those departments that are listed there. Right. And that is money, that is money that has been identified that it needs to be funded in those departments, and we've actually said how that will actually be done. Now, the discipline of actually making sure it actually happens is something that might happen. Now, we have at the end of March of 2012-13, we've actually, the province has actually been able to pay 821 million towards that 2.2 billion. And there's a remainder of about 1.3, right? And in the main, that remainder, it is which it will fund, that remainder, it will, is coming from education if you look at there. It's that 1.3. And education had this practice in the past, where it was paying salaries even in instances where it did not have a budget, right? That is the outcome of that. And that is what the province is grappling with. Now, if you look at the recovery within the treasury itself, we are saying there, Chairperson, this financial recovery has actually created a space for improving the delivery of services. Right. It's important to capture that point here, Chairperson. Now, that expanding the delivery of service that happens, right, it will actually happen because of that fiscal space that has actually been created. But I will be talking about the capacity to actually to do that quality spending when we deal with the sustainability. Now, in the treasury, we believe that we are addressing the leadership. Now we appointed the HOD. HOD at some point will talk to what the department is doing at a senior level. Right. Now, in terms of the processes, let me just talk to that Roman figure one under P. As part of the recovery. Now, the treasury itself, one of the things that it wrestled with over a number of years, Chairperson, and you can look at how the Auditor General assessed, right, the treasury over a number of years, they have always qualified it around the travel levies. Travel levies are those accounts where the traditional leaders deposit money into a bank account, but when they withdraw more than what they submitted, what they deposited in the account. And unfortunately, those accounts in the past used not to be reconciled for over a number of years. Now, as we speak, you will see that account is being reconciled. Which is a huge improvement, right? And you can go to provinces, Chairperson, that have got rural, which have got rural areas. You'll find that problem bedeviled there, right? They don't deal with that, right? But we can say there in that area, the province is beginning to deal with that. One of the things that was also a problem was the provincial revenue fund itself, where government money goes in. That account used not to be reconciled over a number of years, which then becomes very difficult to actually to account as to where that those fundings are coming from, how much education is taking out of that fund, how much it actually put inside there, right? But now we are saying that that account is being reconciled. The consolidation of accounts. Now, consolidation of accounts, because at the end of the day, all the accounts of government, they must be reconciled. There is the money coming in, there is the money going out, and those amounts, they must balance. Right. Now, the province is moving towards making sure that that happens. And if you look at the outcome of the Auditor General, you will see that the Treasury, that is the only activity, right, that stopped it to get a clean audit, right, in the last audit. And they are in the process of actually dealing with that. The other one, just keep them up, because when you get HOD, get into the cover of the Treasury, get into the